So happy to be joined right now by a very good friend and one of the very best football journalists in the land, Sal Palantonio from ESPN. Sal, Merry Christmas, buddy.
Vic, great to be with you. Merry Christmas to everybody there in Cleveland and to your family.
So, Sal, you're going to have an interesting – well, you always have interesting assignments, but I know this week being able to be in New Jersey to deal with Jets-Giants, and it would be interesting no matter what, but it seems like the back and forth, which we expect that from the Jets' end. I don't know so much from the Giants' end, but it's interesting now that the Giant wide receivers – have found some wisdom or not in kind of calling out Darrelle Revis and just sort of calling him a decent cornerback and basically laying the groundwork for a challenge with him. Smart thing or dumb thing?
Well, I don't understand, Vic, why they would talk. Hakeem Nicks was targeted a game-high 12 times and caught 5 passes last week against the Redskins. I covered that game. The key play to me in the game was his drop in the first quarter. The Redskins took that 3-0 lead. Manning had Nicks like on a deep post route behind the Washington secondary, and Manning laid the pass right in Nicks' breadbasket. And instead of catching it, Nicks allowed the ball to clang off his face mask. That kind of punctured the Giants' early momentum, took the home crowd out of the game.
Right.
And the Giants' receivers, you know, it shouldn't be a shock that Nicks dropped that ball. The Giants have the second most drops in the league, 28 drops, accumulating a league-high 264 air yards, according to our folks at ESPN Stats and Information. And even slot receiver Victor Cruz, who's having a great year, leads the team with 7 drops. So I don't know why they're trash-talking about Revis and Cromartie going into this football game. If they don't hold on to the football, they're going to lose the game. Right. Their passing game is the only thing the Giants do well. They can't run the football. They're last in the league. They're 27th in the league in points allowed, averaging 27 points per game allowed. Very unlike Giants football.
Mm-hmm.
And their defense is ranked 28th in the league for a reason. They can't rush the passer now. Justin Tuck hasn't been healthy. So the right defensive end, Jason Pierre-Paul, is seeing a lot of double teams. And when your best pass rusher sees a lot of double teams, that really puts a crimp into your pass rush. They only sacked Grossman once. They very rarely got to him. There are very few hurries. And the one thing you can't do with Sanchez is give him time.
Right.
You need to get in Sanchez's face.
Now, for their part, the Jets, of course, we you know, talking is their thing, and it obviously starts with the head coach, with Rex Ryan. So he's said his share of stuff back and forth with, and interestingly, Tom Coughlin, I guess, is, you know, biting his tongue or biting his lip or whatever Tom does, because that's not really his speed either. But you could sense there's a clear whatever, a feeling that Tom Coughlin has that that his counterpart in New York should, you know, shut his yap, as he's been told multiple times. But I'm just curious as to the state of this Jets team, because, you know, they come off a game where they were pounded by the Eagles, and now they face, you know, the hometown rivalry game. I'm just curious from the Jets' perspective what your thoughts are with their bravado and brash stuff.
You know, I grew up in New York, and, you know, I was, as a young boy, I was a Packers fan and a little bit of a Jets fan. I was a Packers fan primarily because my dad was so angry that the New York Giants let Vince Lombardi leave in 1959
right,
and go to Green Bay. And so he kind of forbade me from rooting for the Giants as a kid. So I turned into a Packers fan, and then later, of course, Namath was so big when I was a kid.
Sure, sure.
So I've been in the thick of it my whole life. And there's always been a sense of jealousy from Jet fans about the Giants, you know, the legacy, obviously the history, the 3 Super Bowl trophies, the fact that they haven't really won anything since 1969. So there's an element of that. And when Rex Ryan comes in with his bravado and saying he's not going to be the little brother to anybody, you know, he tapped into that sense of paranoia and insecurity among Jets fans and Jets Nation up in New York. So I get all that. But I think at some point, Vic, and correct me if I'm wrong, it kind of falls on deaf ears. I mean,
yeah,
you know, you can't say every year we're going to win the Super Bowl and then not do it. You can't say every year this is a Super Bowl team, we're going to win it and guarantee it and not do it. It sort of like loses its steam, don't you think?
Yeah, it just becomes noise. It just becomes white noise. You're someone, you know, you call it the cry wolf syndrome, and I think that's what's happened to Rex Ryan. He was interesting copy, but even that loses a lot of its steam, as you say, when you don't deliver. We're talking with Sal Palantonio from ESPN. He's also the author of an outstanding book, How Football Explains America. I highly encourage this as a gift idea if you're looking for those for you many I don't call you last minute, but last day's kind of shopper here. Sal, that book, and I know you put a lot of work into it, and I talked with you when that book was just a concept and you were just starting it, but give people a sense of what it's about and why really this is a great read.
Well, thank you, Vic. And you can still get it in bookstores and Amazon.com. And even after you get that gift card, obviously, it's not a bad idea post-Christmas. But
definitely.
I'm not trying to sell the book. The book has sold itself. We sold many, many thousands and thousands of copies. And it's been well-received in the commissioner's office and around the NFL. I know Mike Holmgren, I sent him a copy. He wanted it. And I presume that, you know, that he's reading it. I recently sent him a copy there in Cleveland. But, you know, the book, the reason why the book has resonated, and the book came out 3 years ago and it's still selling, is because there have been many, many, many books about the history of the NFL, about how it came about what happened. But no one really before this book wrote the reason why. Mm-hmm. Why was NFL football created? Why was American football created out of soccer and rugby in this country?
Right.
And why did American football did it evolve culturally through the years, through the influence of African Americans, through the influence of Indians, Native Americans, through the influences of music, popular culture? And that's what I attempted to do with this book, chapter by chapter, talk about the influences of Teddy Roosevelt, the influences of African-American musical culture, especially in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and now later on with hip-hop culture. And that's why I think the book has resonated across all demographic lines, and I think people have engaged it.
Excellent stuff. Again, I strongly encourage, I'll sell it for you. I want people to go out there and buy it because it is a captivating read and flows beautifully. You did a wonderful job with it. A couple more football notes I want to cover with you,
yeah.
Sal, additional football notes, I should say, is in the AFC North, of course, a lot of talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. The loss was one thing. The power outage was another in San Francisco, but I think the resonating thing was that Ben Roethlisberger played a game that looked like, obviously, he shouldn't have played. I could not believe still that he was in the second half of the Cleveland game where he suffered that high ankle sprain on the Thursday night game, and I watched a guy from the press box at Heinz Field trying to will that ankle to you know, to respond and allow him to go back out there and play, and he did, but dragged his leg, and you know, it's heroic, I guess, when you win, but when you play the kind of game he played Monday night, it just looked foolish. What's your thought on it?
Well, toughness and courage are what is the, you know, the hallmark of football and football players, but discretion is the better part of valor, as we all know, and wisdom is important. You got to make a good judgment call. And I thought in this particular case, they were better off with Roethlisberger out of the game. Because I don't think he was very effective from the get-go. Couldn't move, couldn't plant and throw. His ball was sailing. It was inaccurate. It allowed the 49ers to get some turnovers that they probably wouldn't have gotten if Charlie Batch was in the game. It just sends to me the wrong message to your football team. You know, a football team is a 53-man roster. And you have Charlie Batch on that team for a reason. You're saying to your football team you have such little confidence in Charlie Batch that you're going to put Ben Roethlisberger out there on one bad wheel.
Right. Right.
Or one, with just one good wheel.
No, that...
And then to leave him in the game when the game was out of hand, I thought was just foolhardy.
When you were last with us on this show, you talked about the Broncos and not liking the fact that, you know, John Elway, John Fox basically did a disservice to Tim Tebow, in indicating, you know, that he wasn't their guy or whatever, wavering.
Yeah.
Well, we know what's happened since in terms of the success he's had, and now John Elway saying Tim Tebow's not going anywhere. What's your take on it now?
Yeah, I do remember saying that to you, and again, I think John Elway and John Fox would best be served by not talking about Tim Tebow's future. Just talk about what he has brought to the team this year and his importance to the turnaround of this football team. And it's been a remarkable turnaround. Put aside the football analysis, Vic, of Tim Tebow's play, his
right.
accuracy, yada, 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 his mechanics and all that.
Yeah.
The guy has inspired a football team, a franchise, and a city. And that's what you want in a quarterback. I remember John Gruden telling me when I did the sideline reporting for the Monday Night Football game when San Diego played Jacksonville a few weeks ago. We were sitting. He's a big Tebow fan.
Mm-hmm.
We were sitting talking in a team hotel before going to the stadium. He said, a football team takes on the personality of its quarterback. And that's what you have here. But beyond that, it's not only the team, it's the franchise and the city.
Right.
And
right.
So I'm glad Elway came to the party. It was a little late, but I'm glad he showed up. I'm glad he did. And, you know, here's the thing. Is Tebow Troy Aikman or John Elway? No, not yet. But he's only started for half a season.
Right.
And he's already accomplished a lot in that half a season. Did they get beat by the best team in the AFC? Yeah. By a guy going to the Hall of Fame? Yeah. By a coach going to the Hall of Fame? Yeah. Your expectation is they were going to lose that game. But now they go up to Buffalo. They play the team in your hometown. It's going to be a blackout, obviously. It's very unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills are reeling. Now, this, to me, in my opinion, Vic, is a much harder game for the Broncos and Tebow.
Right. Right.
Because they got to get up for this game.
Right.
And they got to get up to play a Bills team that's wounded, and the last thing the Bills want is for Tebow to come in there and hold some kind of celebration.
Sure.
Martin.
Oh, and
this is a much harder game for Tebow and the Broncos, in my opinion. Much harder.
No, I agree with you. Absolutely. And it would be every opportunity is a prove it opportunity for him, but this would be a big one.
You got to go on the road anytime in the NFL, but Buffalo is not an easy place to play with the wind.
Nope.
Half-empty stadium, a team angry about its circumstances.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. That's a tough out, in my opinion. Very tough out.
Sal, great stuff as always. Again, all the best through the holidays to you and your family. I look forward to talking with you soon, my friend.
Okay, Vic.
Sal Palantonio from ESPN. You will catch his report this weekend. He'll be at the Giants-Jets game for the network. And also pick up a copy of his book if you haven't already. Great gift idea. How Football Explains America. Outstanding book. Sal Pal. All right, much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.